Attention football fans. This is a special edition of Start Button News Audio Podcast. Yes, that's right. Just a few short hours. Well, actually, no, about an hour. Madden 2009 is going to be on store shelves waiting for the latest update, really, to adjust the rosters so a certain quarterback will now be on a certain New York team. Jets. Favre. Yes. Well, it's that time of the year again. It's mid-August, and Madden is coming out. With this, we can play through the Colts, the Patriots, and see if they're going to go to the Super Bowl again. Or we could get our hopes up again with the Lions and play better than the actual Lions really play. But I think this year's big, big commotion is about their cover athlete. I really thought they had a loophole here. I really did. And for people who don't know what I'm talking about, let me fill you in a little bit. Basically, there's a Madden curse. People believe in a Madden curse. I believe in it too, just because, well, it's kind of, if you think about it, it could be a coincidence, but this long, almost 10 years. Since 1999, when they started putting cover athletes onto the Madden games, they somehow have a curse. They somehow get injured, have a horrible season, something ends up happening to them. EA this year decided to go for somebody who was very well known, who was a star in his field, a quarterback named Brett Favre. You may have heard of him, he's been in the news a little bit recently, but they decided he was retiring. Let's put him on the cover. That could have been the biggest loophole EA has found in years to get rid of the Madden curse. Sadly, he decided to come out of retirement, and Green Bay didn't want him. And, well, our friends over at John and Jim Radio have dedicated themselves to going through each year of the Madden curse and talking about how each player was affected by it. And this will be added on a little bit later, but let me tell you a little bit about my friends over at johnandjimradio.com. John and Jim Radio is a podcast run by John Stockwell and Jim Simon. John Stockwell is based out of the Detroit, Michigan area, right? And Jim Simon is based out of the New York area. And they, in their podcast, episode 60, went into great length about the Madden curse. Instead of trying to upstage them, we asked for their permission to use what they did. Because it really is great, you're going to have a laugh. If you like them, please, I encourage you, sign up for their podcast. We're on iTunes, they're on iTunes as well, they're good friends of ours. JohnandJimRadio.com is their website if you need their link. Without further ado, we're going to hand it over to them, and we'll see you in about 2 weeks.
But today we wanted to talk about a couple of things. One, Brett Favre.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass.
Who was now unwelcome in Green Bay, by management at least, and about the Madden curse.
I love John Madden because he makes me feel smart. He tells you the same thing in the beginning of the sentence that he says in the end of the sentence. I have no idea what he's doing in the middle. Then he wraps it up with the words, and that's what that's all about. It's like a Band-Aid on a John Madden tragedy. He'll say things like, great football is about great football. You have great football players playing great football. That's the best kind of football to play. When you have regular players playing great football, that's just regular great football, not great, great football. And that's what that's all about. This one player, Brett Favre, he talks about him all the time. It's like somebody made a bet with him that he couldn't work him into everything, and Madden just wanted to prove him wrong, right? He's talking about hybrid grass one time. He's like, half of that grass on the field is real, and half of it is fake. But Brett Favre is all real. You owe me $50.
Brett Favre is the greatest player in the world. You could cut off both his arms and both his legs, he would still be the best torso in football.
Did you ever hear Madden eat a sentence halfway through? Like,
hey, that predicate tastes better than the subject right there. Put a little prepositional phrase on there, boom. You got a tough sentence.
People who have been on the cover of the Madden game seem to be cursed. And what triggered this is I was in 7-Eleven because I like frequenting in that place. And
You're like Norm from Cheers. Hey, yes. John, how's it going?
And what happened was I saw Favre on the cover a few weeks ago. I'm like, oh, well, they can't screw this up. He won't get a curse. He's retired.
Exactly.
Boom. He tries to come out of retirement. The team doesn't want him. The curse continues. So, Jim, give me your thoughts on this whole Brett Favre scenario.
It's weird. It's almost like it's like fake, you know, like it's like they're making this up, because the stuff that's coming out of Green Bay is just beyond comprehension.
Yeah. How you could not just want him back on the team, and why you would want to anger all the fans and put that much pressure on Aaron Rodgers, I don't understand.
You know, and I said this to you during the week. It's not like he had a terrible season last year. Statistically, he had a great season, and he led them to the championship. One game away from the Super Bowl. You know, and I understand that they, you know, as said, you know, make a decision by X date and everything. But, you know, the guy's a, what, three-time MVP? He's a sure Hall of Fame. I mean,
yeah.
Like, you know, and you turn the reins over to Aaron Rodgers. This kid can't succeed now. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah, and I tend to believe Favre, too, that management pressured him into making a decision prior to the draft, you know, because they needed to know if they wanted to get a quarterback or not. But, you know, I kind of blame Favre as well, though. It's like, if you're really not sure about it, just wait, you know, say you don't know. But now, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, the Green Bay said, yeah, he can come back to the team, but they're not sure what his role will be. And how, oh, my God.
Well, and then the thing that I thought was funny is that now the Packers are accusing the Vikings of tampering.
Yes.
You know, and now I don't know anything about pro sports contracts, but did he retire and still have time on his contract?
Yeah, he still has time on his contract. So if he unretires, he's on the Packers.
So he's unretired, and that means that other teams can't talk to him.
Well, I think it's he's not unretired. He's still retired or something. But
right.
Yeah, I don't think other teams can, like. There's a period where they can't talk to him because they think it's tampering. But I heard this guy is just a friend of his, a coach that he's known.
The funny thing for me is that he's retired. The Packers have said they don't want him to come back. So if someone else wants him, why? It's not like they wanted him to come back and couldn't convince him to come back.
Yeah. And what's weird about this, and this is what continues the Madden curse, this is something I could never have imagined. As loved as this guy is in Green Bay, to have the owners of the team say no, I mean, I can't believe it. And then you brought up these horrible things I had forgotten about, like Franco Harris going to the Seattle Seahawks.
we quickly talked about, you know, the players that went on to other teams.
Yeah.
You know, Franco Harris to the Seattle Seahawks.
Johnny Unitas to the Chargers.
Johnny U to the Chargers. O.J. Simpson to the 49ers.
Joe Namath to the Rams.
Joe Namath to the Rams.
The big one, Joe Montana to Kansas City.
Well, Joe Montana to Kansas City, but that worked.
That worked, and he got them one game away from the Super Bowl. And I was living in California at the time because he sat out a whole season with a hurt elbow, and Steve Young finally took it over. But it was very similar to what was going on in Green Bay. He wanted to play, and the team didn't want him to do that. But at least they agreed to trade him. You know.
So, you know, I remember watching. Do you remember his last? I think it was the last game of the season, and it was on a Monday night.
Yeah, against Denver.
Against Denver.
Yeah.
And he played.
Yeah.
And I can remember saying, if he does well here, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And he did amazing.
Yeah, he did great.
And then that's when they went through. And I remember all the stuff that was going on in San Francisco.
I remember, too, when the 49ers, I think, were in the playoffs that year, Steve Young was stinking up the joint, and they left Montana standing on the sideline. They wouldn't bring him into the game. They let Steve Young lose the playoff game, and that made me crazy. I was jumping up and down and screaming at the TV.
That was that season?
That was, because Montana was hurt, and they had made it to the playoffs, and Steve Young was struggling, but they wouldn't bring Montana in. And that's one of those things, again, I can't figure out. But now Joe Montana, the poor guy, can barely walk. He got beat up so bad. So, yeah, but Franco Harris on the Seahawks, I tried to find a picture of that, and I couldn't. But
I remember actually seeing a game that he played in. And it was – well, all of them were terrible. The only one that worked was Joe Montana.
Yeah, and I saw that slow motion footage of Johnny Unitas being sacked while on the Chargers. I could not believe it. I'm like, this is not happening. So, but again, and this brings us back to the curse of Madden. Now, Madden is a football game on, you know, for like the PlayStation or Xbox, okay?
Yes.
Now, I have a little background info here from Wikipedia, so you know it has to be true.
It has to be.
It's the Madden Curse, also known as the Madden Cover Jinx, is a myth involving the video game series Madden NFL, stating that during or after the season, if a player appears on the cover solo, that player will be cursed with either an injury or poor performance. Now, a little background here. Prior to 1999... Prior to 1999, the cover consisted of a prominent image of John Madden, occasionally appearing with some player backgrounds behind him, all right? But beginning in 1999, the 1999 version, they started putting players on it, and the curses began.
Yes.
So do you want me? I'll go through the first one.
Okay.
Okay, Garrison Hurst, a great 49er. He was the first player to be featured solo on a Madden cover appearing on Madden NFL 99. His 98 season was the best of his career, over 1,500 yards rushing. He took the 49ers to the playoffs and a wild card win over the Green Bay Packers. But on the first play of the divisional game versus the Atlanta Falcons, he suffered a bad ankle break, and his team would go on to lose the game. He did not play again for 2 years. Okay.
Now, do you remember that game?
Oh, I remember watching it. I think it was against Atlanta. It was just...
Was that like a Joe Theismann moment with his broken ankle?
It was, but you couldn't. It wasn't as graphic as that. But I remember him going through so much rehab because they had to like totally rebuild his own ankle before he came back.
And he was never the same, if I remember correctly.
He was never the same. And then he ended up going to Denver.
Right.
So, but that was Garrison Hurst was the first one. Now, do you have this in front of you?
Yes, I have it in front of me. Dorsey Levens was in 2000. Emerged as one of the premier running backs in football in 1997, rushing for over 1,400 yards and getting voted to the Pro Bowl. However, he injured his knee during the 1998 season and was never quite the same. Yes. He gained over 1,000 yards for the Green Bay Packers in the 1999 season, but was mostly used in a reserve role for the next 2 years. Levens was released by the team in 2001, used sparingly in a backup role with the Philadelphia Eagles and New York Giants, and after that was essentially out of football by the end of 2004.
Yeah, so he appears on the 2001. 4 years later, he's out of football. And another note, I didn't know that Barry Sanders was supposed to be on the cover of Madden 2000, but he abruptly retired in 99. But that one would have worked because Barry had the sense not to come back.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, this guy I totally forgot about, Eddie George, who has two first names. He was on Madden 2001 of the Tennessee Titans. He was on the Madden NFL 2001 box. Now, some people say he is often the first cursed player. Okay? Dun-dun-dun.
He's cursed.
Running counter to a curse for the year he was on the cover, he had career highs in yardage and touchdowns. But curse advocates point to the 2001 season following his appearance on the cover, where he averaged only 3 yards a carry and rushed for career lows of 939 yards and 5 touchdowns due to a nagging toe injury. For the rest of his career, he never averaged more than 3.4 yards per carry. George's curse can be argued to have started the year he was on the cover, because in the 2001 AFC Divisional Playoff game, George had a costly fumble that lost the game for Tennessee. He also fumbled 8 times during the 2000 regular season. Wow. Wow.
He got toe up.
Now, Culpepper...
The next one is Dante Culpepper.
This is when I first started noticing it, when this happened to him, because this guy seemed indestructible.
Yeah, former Minnesota Vikings star quarterback Dante Culpepper appeared on the Madden NFL 2002 cover after throwing for nearly 4,000 yards and 33 touchdowns.
Wow.
While rushing for 470 yards and 7 more scores in the 2000 season.
Yes.
However, Culpepper struggled with turnovers in the first 11 games of the 2001 season, throwing 13 interceptions and only 14 touchdown passes. A back injury ended his season in the 11th game. And you're right. I remember the same thing watching that guy play that year.
Yeah.
And he just looked like he was a bunch of, like, against a bunch of little kids.
Yes.
Because he's a really big guy, and he was running all over the place and throwing touchdowns, and you thought, yeah, oh my God, this guy's going to be the greatest player ever.
And then he broke his back.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You
my
broke
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or well, what portion?
Spinal.
Spinal.
So, again, this is where I really started seeing the curse. I'm like, wow. This yeah. is not good. And because this guy figured would be in Minnesota forever, now I don't know yeah. if he's still on Oakland or where he is, what he's doing right now.
I think he's in Oakland still. The next one,
Marshall Faulk, same kind of thing. Yeah. Although I wasn't upset about this one. The cover of Madden NFL 2003 featured St. Louis Rams running back Marshall Faulk, whose rushing and receiving helped lift the Rams to the Super Bowl twice in the previous 2 years. But then he was plagued with an injured ankle in the 2002 season, and his rushing total dropped under 1,000 yards after four straight seasons of 1,300 yards each. The Rams missed the playoffs with a 7-9 record, and he was never the same.
No, and here, you know, this one, you started to, like, with the next one, you start to see it coming almost. You
yes.
were waiting for it to happen. And the next one is you know, big fan of the show, you know, someone who's always on our minds, Michael Vick.
I got more money than Michael Vick.
Five days after Madden NFL 2004 was released, which featured Atlanta Falcons quarterback and avid dogfight fan,
yes.
Quarterback Michael Vick on the cover, Ron Mexico. He was injured during a preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens,
yes.
suffering a fractured right fibula.
And that happened. That was immediate. The game was out and he was hurt.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Vic played in only the last five regular season games, finishing with just 585 yards passing and four touchdowns. The Atlanta Falcons missed the playoffs and were already out of contention by the time Vic returned from his injury. The Falcons
yes.
finished the season with a record of 5-11, a drop from their 9-6-1 record the season prior.
And then we know where he is now. He's in the pokey. So. This could have been the biggest curse of Madden ever, but I remember that. I remember seeing the game and then seeing him hurt. I was like, wow, that was quick. That was quick.
Now, the next one I was actually happy about.
Yes, and now some people argue that Lewis was not cursed. So let's see. Ray Lewis in 2005, it featured Ray Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens, the first defensive player ever to appear on the cover of a Madden game. It was Lewis's first season without a single interception after posting a career-high 6 in the previous year, although interceptions are a secondary statistic for linebackers. He had 147 tackles in 15 games played, breaking his arm in Week 15 and missing Week 17. The Baltimore Ravens also failed to make the playoffs that season after winning their division the year before. Some say his curse status as cursed is dubious, but I don't know. If you break your arm, I think you've been cursed.
You know, and it's funny, at this point, you know, and I've owned a few of the Maddens. I haven't owned all of them. But when they start to come out, it's almost now like, you know, who's the poor sap that's...
Yeah.
Like, why do people, like, agree to do this? You know, it's the same thing what they say with the Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, and these next two are huge. These are
yeah.
two guys, again, that you thought would be playing for years. Go ahead with the 2006.
Quarterback Donovan McNabb, another huge fan of the show, was
yes.
featured on the cover of Madden NFL. He led the Philadelphia Eagles to Super Bowl, was at 39 with a 13-3 regular season record to
yes.
face the New England Patriots.
Okay.
He ended 2004 throwing just shy of 4,000 yards and throwing for 31 passing touchdowns with only 8 interceptions.
Great season.
I know, right? He also rushed for an additional 3 TDs. However, during the 2005-2006 season in which he was on the Madden cover, McNabb suffered a sports hernia.
Yes.
I thought that's a funny term.
I know.
Hernia is a hernia. But elected to play until after the November 14th game against the Dallas Cowboys. During this game, McNabb was knocked down after an interception returned by Roy Williams, aggravating the injury.
Ooh, that was painful.
That game.
Ooh, it was like, ow!
Same year after gracing the Madden cover, he lost his primary receiving target, Terrell Owens, who was subsequently put on the cover of the main competitor ESPN NFL 2K5. Then he elected to have season ending surgery that was required to repair the injury.
Yeah, I mean, that was so major. And that was, I was just waiting for him to get hurt. But yeah, he was hurt and then kept playing and then just got leveled.
Yes, cream. And I remember this next one vividly and just thought,
Sean Alexander was on the 2007 game, meaning it came out in 2006.
Yeah.
He appeared on the cover of Madden NFL 07. He had one of the best seasons ever. He rushed for 1,880 yards, scored a record 28 touchdowns, and he only missed one start in his previous 64 contests. He fractured a bone in his foot after he was on the cover. He missed six starts and failed to rush for 1,000 yards for the first time since 2000. Additionally, his touchdown record from the previous year was broken by LaDainian Tomlinson. After the 2007 season, he was released from the Seahawks and was without a team.
He's without a team. Oh, my God. I had no idea about that.
Well,
you know what's funny is that you mentioned LaDainian Tomlinson, and I got to believe that this guy, he must have turned down being on the cover.
he
must have. He's like the best running back in the NFL. And,
You
know, the next two years, where is he? I think that he must have. I'm going to call Austin. Let me see. Give me LaDainian's phone number.
I'll look into it right now.
It's in my book. Give me LaDainian's phone number. Okay.
The fact that he would be out of football after that record season is a couple of years after that record season is amazing.
Yeah.
So, and then Vince Young, 2008.
2008 Tennessee Titans QB Vince Young, who appeared on the cover of Madden NFL 08, threw 2,456 yards with 9 passing touchdowns and 17 interceptions in the season of his cover appearance.
Oops.
Barring a drop in just two of his main statistical passing categories, Young improved on every other category from his rookie year, as well as being the spearhead in the achievement of the Titans' first playoff berth in 4 years.
Okay.
Despite making the playoffs for the first time since 2003, Young was injured just one game of the season at Houston due to a quadricep injury.
Okay.
So his did wasn't as extreme as the previous couple ones.
No, and because to me the major ones are Dante Culpepper, Marshall Faulk, Michael Vick, Sean Alexander, and Donovan McNabb. And it also says Luis Castillo appeared on the cover of the first ever Spanish language version of Madden 08.
I don't even know who that guy is.
I don't either. But I guess he suffered an ankle injury. But now for me the big one is Brett Favre appeared on Madden 09.
Well, I wonder if they, because had he not announced his, because the game's not out yet, right?
But he had announced his retirement. I know
he had announced his retirement.
Yeah.
You know, so they probably figured that whether he was going to be in it or not, you know, it wasn't going to matter.
Yeah. Yeah,
but now after all this, it's just become this like soap opera.
Yeah, it's just it's very strange, and I'll be very interested to see what goes on with that. So, man,
bizarre.
Wow. Hey, well, do you have anything else to add to this special show?
You know, I had picked a couple shows, a couple things. I got to. All right, here we go. I've got a fun story for the end. Okay.
Okay.
I'm famous for my fun story, and I actually think this story's about you, except. It's from Australia.
Okay.
So we're going to close with this one, all right?
Hey, I was just watching the Pope in Australia. Very cool.
This is from Yahoo News.
Okay.
Man spent $1,000 a week on beer.
Ooh!
That's the headline. An Australian man convicted of his 7th drink driving charge.
I love that drink driving. I love that term.
Was spending about $1,000 Australian, $972 a week on beer, enough to buy more than 2,500 small bottles a month.
Small bottles. I mean, how small?
Yeah, he was convicted. The heartbroken construction worker began drowning his sorrows after breaking up with his partner 5 years ago.
Uh-oh, you know what that means when they say partner.
Yeah, partner.
Yeah.
The magistrate declined to jail the father for noting he had quit drinking since his latest arrest, but he banned Larry from buying or even holding a beer for 12 months.
He can't even hold one.
He can't even hold it. The magistrate also poked fun at Larry's favorite beer, Melbourne Bitter. It's a part of the country where drinkers can be as loyal to beer brands as they are to football teams.
Wow.
That is poor judgment on two counts there. Drinking that much and drinking Melbourne Bitter, to straight Vince Lupino was going to say.
Like he's drinking Pabst or Goble.
Exactly.
Well, that guy's my hero. Your dad has been displaced. I love that. I love the words, though. He could have bought this many small bottles. I mean, why can't you just say bottle? I mean, if you say bottle, I don't imagine he's carrying, you know, like a novelty-sized bottle.
Oh, man.
You know?
That's beautiful.
Someday I want to have a house with just novelty-sized things in it, like gigantic couches and big forks and stuff.
So you be the first time in your life you seem really small.
That's right. Hey, you know, speaking of being really small, you know what? I was reading about the movie Jaws last night. Do you know there's that scene where Hooper's in the cage and the shark swims by and the shark looks really huge? That's a midget in there to make the shark look bigger.
Are you serious?
As it swims by, yeah, it's a dwarf actor that they put in the cage, and so the shark looks really big, but it's because it's a really small person in there.
Well, you know what's odd, too, is that you bring that up, and they just recently had a shark sighting on the where they actually filmed that movie out on Long Island.
Oh, yeah. What a great movie.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, I saw it 14 times as a kid.
Did you really?
Uh-huh. Because that's before they had VCRs. Me and my friends used to go see it all the time. Great, great movie. Great movie. Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up here. It's a Friday night,
good,
man. It's crazy. It's after 10 o'clock. I got to go to bed.
How long you been up?
I've been up since 2:30. Wow. I did have a little nap in the afternoon, though.
4 hours.
Yes, except my little boy kept waking me up every few minutes to tell me what he was doing. It's like, I'm having some water now. Okay, I'm going to the bathroom now. Okay. Let me know if I am.
I'll let you know I am updating my drivers and my auto racing fantasy league.
Okay.
So maybe I'll get some points. I have
yes,
no idea.
No race this week, but next weekend we'll be in Indianapolis, Michelle and I and the boy.
Ooh.
So that'll be fun, man.
Cool.
All right. Well, this is John Stockwell signing off from John and Jim Radio. Goodbye.
This is Jim Simon. Peace.
John and Jim Radio is not responsible for listener side effects, including diarrhea, spontaneous combustion, laughter, and oily discharge. John and Jim Radio has not been proven to cure gum disease, hot dog fingers, or couch hockeyitis. John and Jim Radio is not a licensed therapist, but did stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. Batteries not included. Your results may vary.